Welcome to the program. Today we're beginning a series on what in the world is going on. We're going to be looking at today's headline news in light of Bible prophecy. Stay tuned. Years ago, Jesus said, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Noah? Well, back in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 11, we read, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." That's the first time you have the word violence mentioned in the Word of God. The earth was filled with violence. Jesus said, when it gets like that again, I'm coming back. In a previous message, we went to Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. And the first couple of verses there, we read, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Now, we're going to be looking at this today and in the programs to come. In Matthew 24 will be the foundation for this these messages that we'll look at concerning today's headline news in the light of Bible prophecy. There certainly is a lot of violence in the land today. However, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, take that verse to heart. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." The positive side of this whole situation is the fact that the Bible says when it gets like this, Jesus is coming back again soon. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain, one day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Suffering free, angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil, hope of the hopeless, my Savior is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified, freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose, over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified, freely forever. One day He's coming,
day. In the midst of all this violence and nonsense that's going on in the world, let's keep our sights on the things that are in the Word of God that says is going to happen in the days ahead. In Luke 21, verse 28, it says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. These things, what things? Well, when violence fills the earth. I was looking at recent news reports. Let's just talk about Iran, what's going on over there right now and in the Middle East. Hong Kong, on New Year's Day, 400 were arrested because of problems over there. In Paris, more than 6,000 riot police lined the route of a demonstration in Paris. In Iraq, they announced 3 days of mourning for those killed in protests. In Moscow, they detained more than 1,000 people at a rally there. In Venezuela, recently, 200,000 people marched against the president. In Albania, the president cancels a vote after opposition riots. In Chile, at least 20 people have been killed in protests recently. In Bolivia, the death toll rises as protests continue. In Ukraine, thousands march to oppose East Ukraine peace plan. In Serbia, protesters invade Serbian state TV amid the demonstrations. In Brazil, gang violence has left more than 50 dead recently. In Ecuador, protesters stormed the parliament as unrest worsens. In Amsterdam, a march draws 40,000 people. In Britain, riots went on for 5 days recently there. We don't need to go to far countries. Here in Toronto, Canada, last year, 292 people were shot, and this brought Canada's bloodiest year on record for gun violence. Well, you have to bury your head in the sand not to realize that what Jesus said 2,000 years ago is a reality today. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that when I come back. And again, we read in the days of Noah, Genesis 6, verse number 11, that the earth was filled with violence. Well, we're there again today. Now, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 24 as a foundation for the programs that we're going to be looking at regarding these things that are happening in the light of headline news and Bible prophecy. Matthew chapter 24, we read in verse number 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, the world there, that Greek phrase is the consummation of the age. Well, we read here that Jesus went out of the temple. Jesus went. That phrase is in the Bible 21 times. He went to cities. He went to the temple. He went out of the temple. He went to synagogues. He went to Jerusalem. He went to the mountains. In Acts 1 and 21, we read that Jesus went in and out among us. He went a lot of places. But here we read that Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Now, he didn't just go out. He departed. That's it. He would not go back to that temple again while he was here during his earthly ministry. He would contend no more with those religious hypocrites who were in control of the temple. Well, today we have something similar to that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. We read, Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Once again, Jesus outside of his local church, knocking on the door. But they can't hear him knocking on the door. They're banging on the drums in there and hooting and yelling and screaming and raising their hands and calling it church. And you're going to have a very sensitive ear, and you want to be listening if you want to hear Jesus knocking on the door. He did say, I will come in and into him, individual, and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse number 38, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The phrase your house is in the Word of God 21 times. He talks about your house and he talks about my house. Luke chapter 19, 46, he said, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So it's no longer his house. He said, My house is a house of prayer. Your house, he said, it became the people. They had taken control here. Matthew 23, 38, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Same thing today in this age in which we're living in. There's my church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. But by the time we get to Revelation 2 verse 5, he says, Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick, which is a metaphor for the church, out of his place, except thou repent. And so my church, your church, things have got to the place where we've taken over. It's not the Lord's church much anymore. We're going to do what we want to do. We're not checking with him with anything. We get ourselves into all kinds of situations and then pray that God will get us out of stuff we should have prayed about before we got into. Well, we read here that Jesus left the temple for the last time, and we read also that his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, this temple was the center of Jewish life for almost 1,000 years. It had been at that time. It was customary even to swear by the temple, Matthew 23:16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, ye swear by the temple, Jesus said. And speaking against the temple would be considered blasphemy. Acts 6:13 says, they set up false witnesses and said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place. They think nothing about blaspheming the Lord, but they weren't going to blaspheme that building. Now, according to Josephus said it took 10,000 men 8 years to add the additions on that Herod had added on to the temple, and it was actually completed in 63 A.D. They worked for more than 80 years on this temple, but Josephus said that the temple was covered with gold plates and the sun would shine on them, and you could see that building from many miles away. It was a beautiful piece of work here in these buildings. Where there was no gold, he said, there was blocks of marble. But interestingly enough, Herod and his restorations of this temple, it was all finished only 7 years before it was totally destroyed. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And according to Josephus, the historians, the stones were 50 feet long, 24 feet wide, and 16 feet thick. It is said that the fall of Jerusalem and the last surviving Jews of the city fled into the temple because it was the strongest and most secure building in the city. They thought they won't destroy this temple. Well, they did destroy it. It was set on fire, and the Roman commander ordered that the temple be dismantled stone by stone for the gold that was inlaid in it. The destruction was so complete that today they have difficulty learning exactly where the foundation of the temple was. What do we have here? We have what Jesus said coming true. He said, there shall not be one stone left upon another. It happened in AD 70 when Titus came in and destroyed their precious temple. Jesus said it would happen, and it happened exactly as he said it would happen. And when violence fills the land, he's coming back like he said he would. Again, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
When the great busy plants of our cities shall have turned out their last finished work, when the merchants have sold their last order and dismissed every last weary clerk, when our banks have raked in their last dollar and have paid out their last dividend, when the judge of the earth wants a hearing and he asks for a balance, what then? What then? What then? When he asks for a balance, what then? When the choir has sung its last anthem and the preacher has voiced his last prayer, when the people have heard their last sermon and the sound has died out in the air, when the Bible lies closed on the altar and the pews are all empty of men, when each one stands facing his record and the great book is opened, what then? What then? What then? When the great book is opened, what then? When the actors have played their last drama, and the mimic has made his last fun. When the movie has flashed its last picture, and the billboard displayed its last run, when the crowd seeking pleasure has vanished, gone out in the darkness again, when the trumpet of ages has sounded, and we stand before him, what then? What then? What then? When we stand before him, what then? When the bugle call sinks into silence, and the long marching column stands still, when the captain repeats his last orders, and they've captured the last fort and hill, when the flag has been hauled from the masthead, all the wounded afield have checked in, and the world that rejected its savior is asked for a reason. What then? What then? What then? When you're asked for a reason, what then?